We get it underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program a talented writer who, among other things, has teamed up with Stephen King for the novella Gwendy's Button Box, the follow-up Gwendy's Magic Feather that he did on his own, and his brand new book, which will scare the hell out of you. I can tell you that right now. It's great. Chasing the Boogeyman, a new novel from Richard Chizmar. Rich, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey. Thanks for asking me.
I have to tell you, you'll appreciate this. The last time I was as nervous reading a book at night was when I was a kid in high school reading Salem's Lot. And it was that same sensation that every sound in the room, I was convinced somebody was there. This is just an absolutely wonderful book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. That's the goal. I want to give readers some sleepless nights.
Well, I particularly love the structure and the way you set this up as a true crime novel, which caused me to go back a couple different times and reread the introduction and the afterword just to make sure, because it rang so true in the reading.
Yeah, my initial idea was to kind of try to do a Blair Witch Project where I passed it all off as real. And, once I sold it to Simon & Schuster, their lawyers got involved very quickly and decided that was a really bad idea, Rich. And we're going to stamp a novel right on the front cover. And we're going to, make sure you include the disclaimer page right in the front. They wanted to make sure that folks knew it was a work of fiction, even though, there are quite a few, factual events in there, especially in my past. But they were a little bit worried that if I tried to pass this off as a true crime book, that there might be some legal issues. So, yeah, but the nice thing is just a lot of the early reviewers have even said that they've Googled, they've stopped reading long enough to Google the victim's names and specific incidents just because they weren't convinced that it wasn't real.
I wonder if somewhere the fondler is proud that he inspired you.
Well, what's interesting is he was finally caught, and I didn't go, or maybe I did, I can't even remember it actually, but he was never caught for the incident in Edgewood. And what's interesting is in my memory, which is very good, I have a writer's memory, so I tend to remember, these details, but my brain told me that this is something that happened a half a dozen times or so, the Phantom Fondler breaking into people's homes and caressing sleeping women's hair and their legs and then escaping into the night. But it wasn't the case. He actually did this over 30 times and was never caught for those crimes. And then in the 90s, he was arrested in Baltimore City for a completely unrelated crime. And he admitted to these crimes, and the evidence that the police had matched up. So they knew that his admission was accurate.
Well, you've taken that notion and ratcheted it up considerably by creating the story of a serial killer dubbed the Boogeyman, taking place in your hometown of Edgewood, Maryland, and you become a key player in that story. What are the writing challenges that go with making yourself not just a character, but really the person that we see the entire story through your eyes?
I think if someone came to me and said, "Hey, I want to kind of, use that as a jumping off point for a book of my own," the biggest piece of advice I'd give them is, just that you have to really fight to be honest. If you're going to do that, you have to really make sure that you're coming from an honest viewpoint and that you're portraying yourself as you actually were or as you actually believe you would be. As far as for me, the challenge is, what was interesting is it ended up being kind of a breeze. Usually I finish a book and I'm exhausted and saying how much it took out of me. And this one, in some ways, it was no different because it was so personal. But it was really a breeze of a book to write, and at times almost felt self-indulgent because I was writing about my past and I was writing about, my parents who are no longer with us. But during the 3 or 4 months I spent writing this book, they were right there. And, I was living in my old house with them and having dinner with them. And my friends were mostly still, in the small town I grew up in. And that was just, it was an enjoyment from start to finish.
We're talking with Richard Chizmar about his new book, Chasing the Boogeyman. Along with the crime and the mystery and trying to solve what's going on, a couple of things that bookended the book made it ring so powerful to me. The first one is the description of growing up in Edgewood, which seems like it wasn't all that different from growing up here in Bangor, Maine, but the wonderful stories about the universal things that kids, particularly young boys, do in growing up, just, man, that just put me right there.
Oh, well, good. Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting. I did a podcast about a week ago, and they asked me how many of those memories were really accurate. You know, did you embellish? And I said, no. You know, the entire book is a mixture of fact and fiction, but the stuff from my childhood and the growing up period, it's all true. I said the ways those stories come out are sacred to mess around with. And plus, there's no reason to embellish them. Half of them were, you know, my kids, my two sons, love hearing about that stuff because they can't believe it happened. It was such a different world back in the 80s.
Well,
I do think it's universal.
And about a decade before that, it wasn't a whole lot different. As a matter of fact, I laughed out loud at the story because me and my idiot friends did a similar thing, constructing a ramp for our bicycles and completely misjudging how much height and distance you could achieve.
Yes. And what you said, you know, before is really accurate, and that's what I was hoping for. And I think it's partly why Stephen King, you know, books are so successful, or why initially in the beginning, you know, writing about these small towns where, you know, readers pick it up and they're either reliving, in some cases, their own memories, or they're experiencing memories of how they wish their childhood was. And you know, writing about Edgewood, every town has a haunted house. Every town has a wrong side of the tracks, and every town has their own set of legends and rumors and you know, that type of thing. And so I'm glad that it resonated with you.
It's also a beautiful evocation of fall. And it just takes you right there. You can see the leaves on the ground. And that sense of normalcy and beauty that you create stands in such stark contrast to the horror that it makes it even more frightening.
And that's interesting, because the book in itself, if I had to kind of roll it all up into a neat little package, I would say, you know, it's about, you know, myself as a 22-year-old, you know, experiencing alongside the entire town that I grew up in, this loss of innocence and this kind of, you know, having yourself open, your heart and your soul exposed to a bigger world. And, again, you read this with a kind ear, and I appreciate that.
We know, obviously, Kara is a real character, and your parents and some of the friends from your childhood. I so want the lieutenant, who's such a big part of the story, to be real. Did he come from some folks that you've met in your lifetime?
You know, he was kind of a collection, you know, kind of a combination of several different people. And the same thing goes for Carly Albright, who seems to be everybody's, you know, favorite character. And they kind of love the fact that she's this kind of spunky, sassy, you know, young lady. And she is definitely a combination of several different people who I know. But all the other names, for the most part, especially in the, you know, the looking back section of me growing up, they're actual friends. And again, the Simon & Schuster lawyers had a field day making sure I had, you know, permission forms, you know, filled out and signed by all of these people. I had to make sure that, you know, there's a lot of paperwork involved.
I also love the fact, and you mentioned Carly, I love the fact that the character of Rich Chismar has his significant other, has his fiance, but then also has this great partner in crime solving in a female. And I thought that added a whole new dimension to it.
Yeah, you know, when I finished the book, it's interesting. The first couple people who read it, to a person, came back and said, "Please tell me Carly Albright exists." And I had to say, "Oh, I hate to break your heart, but no." You know, she does, but in the form of several people. I just, you know, when I finished the book, I knew that I really liked, you know, her. And, you know, having the detective kind of dismissively refer to us as, you know, as one of the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew, you know, it just kind of fit, because, again, it's such a, you know, in many ways, it's such an innocent campfire story. But as you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, the everyday Americana kind of Norman Rockwellian, you know, lifestyle it clashes so, you know, so harshly against the dark parts of the book that I, you know, again, that was my hope, is that it would kind of keep people, you know, unsettled throughout the reading experience.
Well, and much like Stephen King, your descriptions of people and of place are so vivid, and you bring them to life so much that it, to me, was a very cinematic book. I could certainly see somebody wanting to make this into a film at some point.
Yeah, I hope so. There's definitely been some film interest, and you know, speaking of the relationship that you just mentioned, it wasn't something that I did, you know, consciously. But when I was finished, I did think, well, you know, the idea that you know, you have this 22-year-old, you know, male lead character, and he's working so closely with this female who they're simply friends, and there's a mutual respect there. I thought that's, you know, that's perfect for today's movie audience. You know, I think it would make for an interesting, you know, film.
And one of the other things that I love so much about this book, I love being scared. I think we all do. But what scares me most is what we don't see. It's what's in your mind that's most horrifying. And without giving anything away here from the book, it's the things that we think we saw, or we think you saw, or you might have seen, that are often the most frightening parts of chasing the boogeyman.
Absolutely. I you know, it's kind of like, you know, not wanting to show too much of the monster or the shark. And I just thought, you know, this guy, you know, who's responsible for these terrible deeds, he's, you know, whether we want to accept it or not. And it's interesting, because in the book, I read, you know, Carly kind of takes me to task and says, you know, right, not all these killers are Hannibal Lecter. You know, but in this case, this guy's pretty darn smart and ingenious, and you know, he's only caught, you know, many years later. So, it the idea that he was, you know, part of the shadows, you know, in this town, much like the Phantom Fondler, is definitely something I was going after.
I didn't see the ending coming at all, which is always a great sign. Now, when you're crafting a book like this, because you've got to be conscious of making sure that there's a logical trail and that things make sense, but do you do it in a linear fashion, or do you have some sort of an outline so you know how you're going to get to that final destination?
You know, it varies from book to book for me. With this book, the ideas Fast and Furious that I actually did jot down in the form of almost like a miniature outline. So I did know where I was going. I did know, you know, what the end result was going to be and how it was going to happen. And it's actually based on a real case. But yeah, you know, some books I'm just kind of being taken for the ride. This one, and I'm not sure whether I might be stealing another of Steve King's, you know, descriptions, but, you know, I said this story was kind of there in its entirety, and I was actually just kind of brushing debris and sand away to expose the story, as opposed to having to create it. It just felt like it came so fully formed.
Well, it is an absolutely wonderful book, a thrill a minute. I read it quickly, and I would advise not reading it late at night. That's just from me personally, but so good. Chasing the Boogeyman, the brand new one from Richard Chizmar. Rich, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate the time and wish you much success with this.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on again. Take care.
You too. Richard Chizmar on Downtown. I should mention, the book is officially out today from Simon & Schuster. So it's available now. Get your hands on it. Check in. See our friend Gibran at the Briar Patch, and I'm sure he can get a copy of it for you as well. Chasing the Boogeyman.